Jesus says to those gathered around, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep." Some English translations will say, "I am the sheep gate." A few others will say, have Jesus saying, "I am the door." Interesting figure of speech, "I am the door." Of course, we get that sort of thing throughout John's gospel, the sort of deeply metaphorical, symbolic sort of presentation of Jesus. You get things like, "I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the light of the world." And this Sunday, with the sort of the English translation I prefer, "I am the door." All sorts of fascinating images with door. One of the more interesting doors I encounter on a regular basis are hospital room doors. I'm always relieved walking down the hall to see that the door is open. It means not only is the patient probably awake, but hopefully, probably, not all that sick. But when walking down the hall and you see the door is closed, it might mean that they're performing some procedure and then I have to sit around and wait. Or worse, it might be that they're not doing well, that in fact a visit is inappropriate. Or visiting somebody in their house. You walk up to the front of the house, knock on the door, you listen, wait for sound, wait for movement. There's the unlatching of the door, maybe the chain latch, then the deadbolt. Then the door's open, but sometimes just a crack. And somebody on the other side says, well, who is it? I mean, I do understand the need for security. We live in an anxious age. But it's often not, seems to me, a very auspicious beginning to a visit. It doesn't seem particularly hospitable from the other side. Understandable, still, perhaps not hospitable. But then I wonder, what's the chief function of the door? Is it a means of entering or a means of exiting? Are the doors built mainly for the benefit of those on the outside, or are they designed for the specification of those on the inside? So again, is the purpose of the door to keep people out or let people in? Gospel begins with Jesus saying he's the shepherd. He'll later go on to say, "I am the good shepherd." Not only the good shepherd, but the shepherd who so loves the sheep that he's willing to lay down his life for them. Here, though, Jesus is talking about those who refuse to go through the door into the sheepfold, those thieves, those outlaws, those mischief makers, to try to sneak in either over the wall, work harm on the flock, perhaps. Only a thief, a burglar, a bandit would climb in through a window when there's a door. Then Jesus moves from this reflection about doors and about the sort of people who refuse to use them to a different, more direct statement. "I am the door." But what does that mean? We could look at it this way. In saying, "I am the door," he's using a rather humble statement for himself. I mean, Jesus is then, in this way of thinking, the door that leads to God. The door is not the house. The door is not the dwelling place. The door is not the goal. Rather, the door is a passageway into the house, a means of getting to one's destination. So perhaps when Jesus says, "I am the door," it's similar to where elsewhere he will say, "I am the way." So we might be tempted to say, he's the way to God, the way to abundant life, the way to freedom. So then, along these lines, the Lord hasn't left us alone, trying to find this way and that way to God. Rather, Christ is the means by way we get to God. Notice, though, I said this is one way to look at Jesus as the door. He's the way in which we enter, the way in which we come to and find God. But did you notice all the complications I just created by saying it that way? Complications the church has wrestled with for 2,000 years? I mean, is he the only door? One of the doors? The only way to God? Are there no other ways? Is the thief at least trying to find God? Isn't that a good thing? Or perhaps, What do I need to do to be, to act, to live in such a way to be worthy of entering the door? Or again, does God know ahead of time who's getting in the door and who's not? Who's worthy and who's not? Am I thereby doomed to wait outside the door and never enter? 2,000 years worth of sort of reflection upon this sort of way of seeing it. And it's a bit of a mess. I think we've set it up wrong. But we've set it up wrong the way in which we humans do all the time. We think first of ourselves, if we're lucky, then somebody else, and then third place or last place, usually God. But I said earlier, a door may be an entrance and it may be an exit. Let's turn this around. Perhaps when Jesus says, I am the door, maybe the traffic is going in the other direction. In this way of seeing it then, the risen Christ may be seen as the way in which God gets to us, not the way we get to God. So by Jesus saying, I am the door, looking at it this way, he is the way, he is the path, he is the gate, he is the road, he is the passageway by which God comes close to us, reveals himself to us, offers himself to us. Perhaps the traffic is going in the other direction. I am the door, he says. And then he says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He has come to offer life, abundant life, amidst the harshness, the pain, the cruelty of life. But abundant life is not life that sort of guarantees a what? Perpetual health, perpetual comfort. Instead, receiving the promised abundant life from the risen Christ, who has dared to come close to us, dared to be with us with whatever reality we face, and we in turn dare to be obedient to that one who has dared to come close to us. That means the abundant life is not about having more, but as even those early Christians learned, Michelle read about in Acts, sometimes it's making do with what you have so that you may have more to share with others. Sometimes it's limiting how much we acquire so that we may be more abundant to others. The abundant life then is built on a generosity of heart and joy in seeing new life spring up where there was once death, to see new possibility where there was once dead end. In Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis talks about comfort, a comfortable life, which he says is very, very different than an abundant life that Christ offers. He writes that the Christian religion does not begin in comfort. Instead, it begins in dismay. In religion, as in war, as in everything else, comfort is the one thing you can't get by looking for it. He says, if you look for truth, you might find comfort in the end. But if you look for comfort, you will get neither comfort nor truth, only soft soap, wishful thinking, and in the end, despair. Jesus comes to offer life and to offer abundant life. Here, though, abundant life also can't mean eternal life, as in some distant future. Certainly, Jesus promises that in John's gospel. I mean, the hope that we have in Christ now is brought toward fulfillment at the end. But abundant life must mean something now. Something now here in this harsh, sometimes dreary, sometimes painful life. I mean, Jesus himself, he moved through this life in all its pain. He reached out, he rebuked evil, he ministered to the pain, he made bread in the desert, he gave people a sign, a foretaste, an offering that really is abundant life now. For St. Augustine, abundant life meant to be filled with God. He says that life of a Christian is an experience of an ever-deepening sort of desire to be filled by God. But then he goes on to say, I think it's really quite fun, Imagine that God wants to fill you with honey, but you're already filled with vinegar. What's God to do? He says that's why the vessel must be emptied, must be poured out, and the container itself washed and scrubbed and cleansed. Might be hard work, but it is necessary in order to make it fit to house something else. Whether we call that something else honey or gold or wine is immaterial, he says, because the one thing we're describing, the one thing that cannot be named, but can be summed up in one word, God. And when we've said God, what have we said? It's the one syllable that's the distillation of all that we hope for. Jesus says, I am the door. He is the way by which God encounters us. He has come to us in the flesh to get close to us, to grab hold of us, to lead us out by the hand. And along the way, until the end, before the end, he offers us abundant life. That must mean then that we're called, as we walk behind, sheep following the great shepherd, we are called to live as those who know the truth. We know about the ultimate end to which we are walking, to which we travel. And we are to live in Jesus' promised abundant life now, both as a foretaste of what is to come, but a witness to the world for what is to come and is being brought into completion. He is the door. He is the good shepherd. Thanks be to God. Amen.